Hey everybody, Nate here. Before the show, I just wanted to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, the Snack Nanny. The Snack Nanny is the latest, greatest spill-proof bowl. It's the first snack bowl for kids with a self-closing door. The Snack Nanny allows kids to snack freely without overeating, keeps kids entertained, and prevents them from creating a mess for mom and dad to clean up. Kids and parents love the Snack Nanny. It's easy to use, easy to clean, and includes portion control features that only the Snack Nanny offers. To order, go to www.snacknanny.com. or order from Amazon. Remember, you support our sponsors and they support us. Thanks, and Nihei Debiru. And welcome to the first Canadian episode of Chop Talk. I'm your host, Nate England, eh? If you listen to the show on iTunes, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. Also, don't forget to like the show on Facebook. This week, Tom Dougherty and I were on the road to Guelph, Ontario to take part in the 25th annual Seido Kai Iaido and Jodo Seminar. The seminar was organized by Kim Taylor. To find out more, go to www.seidokai.ca. That's www.seidokai.ca. Mr. Taylor brought in several top-level Iaido and Jodo instructors from Japan, and it was a really great seminar. Tom and I flipped on the recorder a few times during our drive up to Guelph. Tom is a longtime martial arts enthusiast who has trained in a number of different martial arts around Cincinnati, including Taekwondo, Jiu-Jitsu, Kali, he holds a black belt in Hapkido, and he's now studying Jodo and Karate at the Kosho School of Karate. And also, congratulations to Tom for getting promoted during the seminar this weekend. He made EQ in Jodo. Also, thanks to Kim Taylor for putting on such a great event, Tom Groindahl, who was last week's guest, for acting as a translator throughout the weekend, and also for his help and advice in joining the U.S. Kendo Federation and figuring out the North American rank testing process. Big thanks to Fukuhara-sensei, Miyu Akanazawa, and Midori-san for helping out with the study material and sending us some great reference videos to get ready for the test and review the Jodo material. And finally, thanks to Paul and Mark Tarvin for doing a little maintenance on my old Honda to make sure it could get all the way up to Canada. Again, thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. So, Tom, you know, you've been working out at the karate school for over a year now. You started doing the Jodo, and then you didn't switch over. You added on. You started working out with the karate also.
Yeah.
But, you know, I never really found out much about your history, how you got started in the martial arts, things like that. You know, what's your background? When did you start training?
I started like most people doing karate or taekwondo, and then I did Hapkido, and then I did Kali because I wanted to work with little weapons, mm-hmm. and then I worked jiu-jitsu too. I really like jiu-jitsu too.
Okay. So when did you start around, you're from where, Cincinnati originally?
No, from Pennsylvania.
Okay. Originally. Okay.
So when I was young, like most teenagers, I did karate when I was a teenager for a little bit.
Okay. How long did you do it then?
Probably just a couple years when I was a kid.
Okay, just kind of checking it out.
Yeah, just checking it out.
Any style or anybody that anyone would
recommend? Nah, it was just regular taekwondo.
Okay. Then what was the next? What was the next stop in the martial arts career?
I did taekwondo a little bit. Then I did. I did jiu-jitsu and Hapkido. Did them about the same time.
Was that back in Pennsylvania or was that?
No, that's in Cincinnati.
Okay. Which schools? What part of town was it?
It was Excalibur Fight Club.
Okay.
It was in Harrison.
Now with the jiu-jitsu, is that the Brazilian jiu-jitsu, like the cage fighting stuff, or was that more classical Japanese?
It was more cage fighting. It just was like, it's more wrestling than the traditional stuff.
Okay. Do you have any cage fights?
No cage fights.
Okay, so
I'm
always
too old for that stuff.
Yeah, but you weren't there. This was a couple years ago, right? This wasn't last month.
I did a little judo at the Y and stuff.
Okay.
In Cincinnati.
Now, you mentioned earlier before we flipped on the recorder, some of the instructors at the Jiu-Jitsu Club were guys who had actually done some MMA or maybe were in the UFC.
Yeah. There was Rich Franklin there. And then there was Josh Rafferty. He was there. And then there were some other people there, too.
Okay.
Those were the two big names.
Were they teaching some of the classes? Were they involved with it, or were they just had their name on the...
No, they were involved with it.
Were they good?
Yeah, they were really good.
Did you ever get one in an arm bar?
Yeah, we got it, but they get me most of the time. They were really good. I mean, they had a lot of energy.
What was a typical training like?
It was tough. You do like a couple hundred arm bars, then you do a couple hundred knees. And,
wow.
And then you wrestle for a long time, grapple, whatever you want to call
it. If you had a knee, like knee strikes?
What?
Like when you say a couple hundred knees,
you wear like this big belly pad on your stomach and your knee, or you have a kick pad and your knee in front of your belly.
Oh man. So some pretty serious training for competition, geared towards more towards competition.
Yeah, it was more for competition. It was more sports oriented. More of a violent sports oriented.
Okay. So at some point you kind of moved out of that and got into the Hapkido.
Yeah, Hapkido, yeah. A lot of joint locks and then kicks and stuff.
No, I don't know that much about the history of Hapkido. I vaguely remember that Hapkido is related to Aikido, but maybe one's a Japanese version and one is a Korean version. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Could you break down the difference or maybe a little bit of the background on that?
Hapkido was started from this guy named Choi or Joe.
Okay.
And he was a house slave to this guy named Tanaka he was jujitsu, like real old jujitsu.
Okay.
It's the same place.
So he wasn't doing, not the Brazilian guy who's wrestling in a speedo jujitsu.
No,
this is what we're talking about. If anyone listens to the Ezra Scott interview, one of the Ezra Scott interviews, I can't remember which one, we talked about the difference between traditional Japanese jiu-jitsu, which was any of the unarmed martial arts of the samurai, compared to what people are saying jiu-jitsu now is just a common term for what you're seeing on the UFC. It's a very generic term.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the old stuff.
Yeah, the old stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Choi's not a Japanese name, Chor Choi. So he was... He had to be Korean or Chinese.
Yeah, he was Korean.
Okay.
And then he put kicks in it and made his own stuff.
So a lot of throws?
Yeah, a lot of throws, a lot of hard falls and stuff like that.
Some joint locks in there?
Yeah.
Wrist locks more than elbow locks?
Yeah, more wrist locks, yeah. But you have a lot of stuff you'd have in the keto too, like forward direction throws, wrist twists, and all that other stuff.
Okay. How long did you work out?
It was a long time.
Yeah.
It's about probably 5 years. More than 5 years.
Oh, wow. Get your black belt.
Yeah, got my black belt.
Yeah, that's very cool. What was the school? It was a school in Cincinnati?
It was in Harrison, and then he moved, so I had to stop doing that.
Well, Harrison, so that's near your place.
Yeah, so I could go every day instead.
Oh, that's nice, because you have... I didn't realize how far of a drive you have into this to work out at the school. I mean, it takes you a good, half hour, 45 minutes?
Yeah.
If the traffic's good?
Yeah.
Man, that's some dedication. I'm kind of impressed. And then, what was it? Was the next stop the Kosho School of Karate, or did you have a couple others in between?
I went to Reed's Academy for a while.
Okay, what do they do?
They do a little, it's like your all-purpose school. They do a little bit of everything. I took Kali there, and then they had jiu-jitsu there too.
Which kind of jiu-jitsu?
The MMA
jiu-jitsu. Now, Kali I know nothing about the. This is Indonesian, right? Kali?
Or it's Filipino?
Filipino. Yeah.
Okay, I was about to say I know nothing about it, and obviously a little known less than nothing about it. So what's the, you know, what are the basics of Kali? What do they?
They use sticks. It's just like, a lot of times they use single stick or double stick. It's just to represent knives and stuff. So they use the sticks to represent knives.
So is that, you know, I guess Eskrima is what I would be more familiar with.
Yeah, it's the same.
That's what it is. So yeah. Instead of saying, I work Eskrima, if someone says they work Kali, they're probably working that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Is there a stick side and an empty hand side, or is it?
Yeah. Because everything you can do empty hand, you can do basically with a stick.
Okay. So the moves are very similar. It's easier to put.
Yes.
If you drop your stick, or you know, you need to hit the guy with the pool cue.
Yeah, it's same thing.
You know, that's very similar to what I know of Chinese martial arts, and also definitely of most Okinawan martial arts, where a lot of the Okinawan weapons were originally farming tools. So the nunchaku was either a horse bridle or a grain thrasher. The kama was a sickle. If you go over there, you still see old ladies like weeding their garden with it. I'm serious.
Do you really?
Oh yeah, absolutely. These little old ladies are in their gardens, and they got this great big kama. It looks like they pulled it off some ancient karate master's wall. They're cutting the weeds out.
That's hard, yeah.
Tonfa was the handle for the millstone. Sai was probably just always used to bonk people on the head. The Japanese police officers carried something similar called a jite. So the Sai has three prongs coming out of it. It looks like a pitchfork, if there are any non-martial arts guys out there. A short pitchfork you hold in your hand. The Japanese jite only has one prong, and it's narrower. So I think the Okinawan was worried about a guy trying to hit him in the head with a stick so they could block and hook that stick. The Japanese police officers were worried about someone hitting him in the head with a sword. And so they could pinch that blade of that sword in that little narrower yoko and kind of control that guy.
Oh, wow.
And the other thing is, if you got a drunk samurai swinging a sword around,
that's not
you know,
good.
He might be in charge of the town. You know, he might be a higher rank than you.
Yeah.
So you don't want to cut him down. You want to knock him unconscious. So he wakes up the next day and he's, oh, God, my head hurts. Oh, tamagoyitaine. And you just tell him, yeah, man, you got a hangover. You were into the sake yesterday. You know, I don't know what to tell you, buddy. I definitely need to hit you on the head. But the movements for kabuto are very, Okinawan kabuto, Okinawan weapons are very similar to the karate. So similar, very similar stances. If you're doing a punch, I'll do a punch. Of course, there's extra movements. You're flipping stuff around, maybe doing a figure eight. But they're very closely related. And it sounds like Kali is also, without maybe a less variety of weapons to choose from. You have the stick. Now, are there different length sticks they work with, or is it pretty much just the standard?
Place on when everything was about standard.
Okay. What else you work with? Up to Kali.
Then I think I want to now start taking Jodo with you guys and karate too.
Looking for a way to gain an edge on the competition? Want to give your body some much-needed relief and relaxation? Try Medical Resort ATAC, Okinawa's specialist in sports therapy and wellness care. ATAC offers customizable massage therapy. Try their oxygen chamber for increased metabolism and faster recovery from injuries. Or take their stretching course to improve flexibility. ATAC is used by professional athletes from the Ryukyu Golden Kings, FC Ryukyu, and Ryukyu Corazon. Stop into their center Monday through Saturday at 12830 Oroku in Naha City, Okinawa. Call 098-859-1890 or visit them on the web at www.sanso-atac.com. That's www.sanso-atac.com.
I was interested, how did you find us with the Jodo? Because
I don't know though. I just said I just seen something on the internet and I said I'd like to do that when I was talking to the wife and she found it somewhere. Mysteriously, okay. Where I don't know how she found it.
little article for the blog post, the Blogspot page I was trying to keep up for the dojo, and there may have been a couple other things here or there, but I was having a tough time trying to get the word out.
She found it on the internet somehow.
Well, good. I'll have to thank her for that.
It's working somehow.
Yeah, definitely. I got you. I had a couple other guys. We had a guy from the Aikido Club that stopped by for a minute.
Yeah.
And a few others have expressed interest. That's the thing about Jodo, though. It's not very well known. Even in Japan, it's not well known. So, you know, I taught English while I was over there, so I'd be in a class, and sometimes people would ask about what I was doing. Normally, you just, hey, what was your day? What were you interested in? They try to talk, and you correct their grammar. Sometimes they try to want to find out what I'm doing. I say, okay, well, I'm here, I'm studying karate, and I'm studying Jodo, and I'm studying, ah, you mean you study Judo? And I said, no, no, no. I mean, I study Jodo. Ah, stupid Gaijin. You mean you study at dojo? And I said, well, I do study Jodo at the dojo, but I still study Jodo there. You not know what you talk about. And then it was great. I said, okay, all right, well, maybe I don't. Go check it out. Look it up. It's, you know, the stick. And they come back, oh, Nate, you were right, you were right. There was something called Jodo. I'm like, I know. I did not know, and I am Japanese. I'm like, I know. At first I think you were dumb. Now I realize you are not just dumb. So that was a compliment for them. But I did luck into it. You know, I don't know if I've told this on the podcast before, but, you know, I started doing... I first heard about Jodo from... Speaking of Joe Walker, my first teacher, Shion Walker, in Peoria. So he was a student of Robert Trias, the first person to teach karate in the U.S., and he's the head of the United States Karate Association. Well, he had a lot of students, and one of his students went over to Japan and taught English, similar to what I did much later. And while he was over there teaching English, he started studying Sword and Joe. The guy's name was Terry Sanders. I believe he's still in Arizona or possibly California. I'd have to confirm that. So he went over, studied Sword and Joe, and when he came back at one of the big USKA seminars, or maybe there in the dojo itself, Grandmaster Trias had him teach some of the top guys, the karate guys. So my teacher learned some of the basic strikes, I think something like 1 through 6, and learned the kata renai, which is actually the highest kata in the standardized set. There's 12 of them. And even in the practice that we did in the seminar over the weekend, we didn't really get to that because it's much more advanced. So, but that was good for these guys. So they got to learn the most advanced kata. And they learned both sides, the Joe side and the sword side.
Oh, wow.
Now, of course, like anything, maybe you don't learn every single nuance, every single detail. But you got the basics.
Yeah.
And so Shion Walker was great about, if he had a lot of different information, he was interested in a lot of different things, and then he would teach it. So he'd have maybe a special class once a month, and he would teach this information. And so for several months in a row, he was teaching Joe. And for me, it was really interesting because I liked the sword before this. I liked the bow, and now I like the Joe because it kind of combined movements from both.
Yeah.
And... but there just wasn't that much more information out there beyond that. You know, where do you find it? Who's teaching it? And it's so disorganized, especially in the U.S. It's just impossible. So when I went over to Japan, one of the things I wanted to do when I first got over there was find somewhere to work Joe. Because I was going to be in mainland Japan first. I had the JR Rail Pass, which means I could hop on the train and go wherever I wanted in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a pretty good deal.
That is
good. Took advantage of that. So I covered quite a bit of territory in a short amount of time. But also spent a few weeks in Tokyo, a few weeks in Kyoto, and a couple other stops here and there.
Oh, wow.
And while I was there, I was trying to find people to work out with, whatever it was, karate dojo to jump into, judo. I did work out at the Budokan, which is the headquarters for judo for the world. Wow. And I just got a little taste of a few things, but couldn't find anywhere to do Joe or some of the other stuff. So time came for me to go down to Okinawa, which was where I was going to be staying and living. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, that's it. You know, I tried, but I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be able to find this. Down to Okinawa, it's karate and kabuto from now on. Get down to Okinawa, and I was supposed to meet, I had a contact information for a kabuto teacher who taught at the Budokan. Did I say Kodokan when I talked about the judo headquarters a minute ago?
I don't know.
I meant Kodokan with judo. The Budokan's in Okinawa, which is a huge martial arts facility. They have three floors of an enormous dojo space, a gym size, like a standard high school gym size, three floors on this. One of them's completely matted, and then they have a giant auditorium where they have the big events, huge seminars. Okay, let's figure this out.
271. Do we want to go to Columbus?
I want to go to Columbus eventually, so I do want to get. So this teacher was supposed to teach there. I had his contact information, and I went, and he was nowhere to be found. And checked again, he was nowhere to be found. So no idea. Who knows if I had the wrong info, if he was out of country, out of town, not interested, schedule change, I don't know. So I was trying to talk to the people at the front desk, which at that time my Japanese was non-existent. But I was trying to find out if this guy was around. I had no idea who he was. So I was asking, well, what else is going on here? And they're trying to give me the schedule. Friday, it is karate, full contact. This guy took a class in there. There is judo. There is sword teacher sometimes, not know his schedule. There is sumo. And I go, oh, sumo? It was just weird. And they go, oh, it is not for you. It's for a little kid. Then they had a sumo ring in the back where they had some kids. I saw it. They worked out at night once. I walked by that area and just kind of happened to see when they were working out. Some of those kids were not little.
They were
full-on junior sumo. But they were 8 or 9 years old. And they listed a couple other things, and I was like, okay, that didn't sound interesting, this didn't sound interesting. And I'm about to walk away, and they go, oh, and there is judo. And I go, oh, there's what? It is judo. Where? Second floor. When? Now. Now. Where? Second floor. Oh, okay. So I walked up, and there was a small judo class going on. I sat down and I watched. And 2 hours later, the class was done. And the guy who was running the class that day was named Motokazu Ikeda. And him and I wound up working together a ton over the next 3 years. He was the guy running the class that day. And his English was very limited, but he's very enthusiastic. And was talking to me. Wanted to know if I was interested in judo. I said I was. I showed him, I think, the basics that I had learned before. He's like, oh, okay, that's very good. You know, which was just the basic strikes, probably the first six. And then he says, okay, you want to learn judo? You come back next Monday, 10 o'clock. You can work out. Okay. Next Monday, I came back, and now it was the full class. I think the day I happened to go in there, I think it was a holiday or something. Uh-huh. So it was basically a skeleton crew. But I came back the next class, and there's a whole bunch of students, and there was two teachers, Fukuhara and Takeda.
Oh wow!
And both excellent judo practitioners and sword, and a few other things also. So after the class, they showed me some of the basics and then sent me over the corner and I worked on those. They showed me like one more basic strike and I went over the corner and worked on that, and that was probably it. And at the end of the class, Fukuhara, who didn't speak English, came up and he grabbed a kid to translate. He said something in Japanese. And the kid says, sensei, what? No, you come his dojo. And I'm like, yeah? Yes. Okay, you come tomorrow. Tomorrow you come. I'm like, okay, where? And he told me the monorail station to meet him at. Came to the station. You know, he was there. Ikeda was there meeting me, to greet me at the monorail station to grab me. And showed me down to the dojo. On the way, he says, we go to Sensei's dojo. His name, Sensei. You call him Sensei. Okay. And so that was it. And so that's where I got to work out and do Jodo. And we did it a ton because the Jodo classes were during the day. Fukuhara ran a real estate and development company, or his owner, and he owned some property. So his schedule's a little bit flexible during the day. Ikeda was a cram school teacher, so he taught after the kids got out of school, and there was a couple guys that were retired and another guy who was a chef who worked in the evenings. So there was a group of guys who were all really good who did this during the day, and it was perfect for me because I could go in there, work out in the mornings, and all the karate places that I was working out, their workouts weren't until the night. So I could work out in the morning, take a break, and go back at night. And it was really good. I learned a ton in a short amount of time because we just worked out so much with such good people. And then when I got back to the U.S., it was tough because the people that are out there are few and far between. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard to find them. And then if you do find them, you got to make sure that they'll let you in, which is sometimes a problem also. So that's why this seminar in Canada was such a great opportunity.
It was a good opportunity.
All the guys, you know, I had sent out emails to different people from time to time, and finally I had Kim Taylor, who's organized this tournament for the last 25 years, responded, put me in touch with Thomas Groindahl out on the West Coast, who helped me, you know, kind of get things set up, got the, you know, how to join the United States Kendo Federation, the steps that he's gone through, how to get the approval for you to test.
Yeah.
And then, you know, some other guys helped too. So, what a, you know, a great opportunity and a great seminar.
Yeah, it was a great seminar.
Mawari no hito ni sa wo sukete imasen ka? Anata no karada wa kyusoku wo hitsuyo to shite imasen ka? Sports massage kenkou no specialist Medical Resort ATAC wo ichido torai shite mite kudasai. ATAC dewa okyaku sama no karada ni awaseta massage wo okunaimasu. Mata, ATAC no sanso shitsu ni mo torai shite mite kudasai. Taisha koujo, kega no soki kaifuki ni kikimasu. Junansei wo takameru, stretching course ni mo torai shite mite kudasai. ATAC wa pro chimu, Rukyu Golden Kings, FC Rukyu, soshite Rukyu Korazan no senshu mo ryo shite masu. Zehi ichido goraiten kudasai. Open, ketsuyobi kara doyobi made, Okinawa ken, Naha shi, Oroku, 1-28 no 30. Denwa bango, 098-859-1890. Homepage mo cheko shite mite kudasai. www.sanso-atac.com. www.sanso-atac.com. Ego, Portugal go, Spain go, Nihon go ga hanaseru staff ga imasu. I'm going to go to the hospital. Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks. Remember, if you have an upcoming seminar, tournament, or other martial arts event, let us know, and we'd be happy to announce it on the program. And now, back to the show. I'm here with Tom Daugherty. I've been pronouncing it Daugherty ever since I've known you. Tom Daugherty. We just left the Seido Kai Jodo and Iaido seminar in Guelph, Ontario, Canada. So we just left Guelph. Great seminar, Tom. What'd you think?
It was very good.
Yeah, they brought in, it was the 25th anniversary of the seminar, organized by Kim Taylor. And it was, they brought in, I believe, four, maybe five teachers from Japan. They had two Jodo instructors and two Iaido instructors. Great attendance, about 140 people. Everybody was really friendly. I guess this is Canada, so you can expect it.
Yeah, everyone's real nice.
Yeah, also, congratulations to Tom.
Yeah.
The new EQ. So good job on the review, Tom.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, so what was your impression? This is the first big Jodo seminar or Iaido seminar you've been to, right?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Everyone from Japan was very good and stuff. I was very impressed. They really knew their stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they got found a good couple of guys to come over.
They were very good.
Yeah, absolutely. Good demos, and they broke it up. So the way the seminar went is they split everybody up. All the Iaido people went in one gym, and the Jodo people went in the other gym. And we worked basics on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
The single, the Sotai Dosa, the basic part, the basic strikes. I'm sorry, the Kihon Dosa, and then the Sotai Dosa, which was the partner drills. And then worked on some kata individually, worked kind of one at a time on the way up, and then as the people, you know, kind of got more advanced than they knew, they peeled off and worked with them individually.
Uh-huh.
So you got a couple new katas today?
Yeah, a couple new katas, and then it helped us with a lot of details. That really helped.
Yeah, and you know, that was one of the things that was important for me, because I've been working out on my own a little bit since I moved back from Japan, so it was important to be able to get some of those little details, little nuances that I forgot. You know, maybe I had a bad habit when I was over there and I fixed it, but then all of a sudden you work out on your own for a couple of years, you know, get the feedback, and maybe that bad habit creeps back in. Some hand positions, and then some of the timing with working with people also. So it was really good for me to get to work with some other people that knew it.
Yeah, very good.
And I think we maybe made some good connections.
Yeah, I think so.
A few people that...
Everyone was really nice.
A few people that are around doing Jodo. Last week's guest, or not last week, I guess we're posting this episode a little bit late.
401s and 1 kilometer.
Okay, if there's 401, so we want to stay on 6 to Hamilton. 6 to Hamilton, keep left. That's it. All right, we're on the right track now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're also recording this podcast eating a traditional Canadian breakfast of old Timmy Hortons. That's perfect. They're everywhere here.
They are everywhere.
They're everywhere. It's good, too. And, breakfast every day at Tim Hortons. Found a good English pub, some good fish and chips.
Oh, that was so good, that food.
All right, back on the right track. So another huge benefit to the seminar was
week's guest, Tom Grint, Groindahl, who's actually on the on Chop Talk last week as a phone-in guest, acted as the interpreter. The whole weekend, you know, he was the guy who would translate between the Japanese teachers and make sure that everybody knew exactly what was going on. And Spanish. There was a group from South America, and I turned around and I hear someone talking something else, and I said, that's not Japanese. And I turned around and it's him speaking Spanish to the South American group. Man, that guy's very linguistically flexible, versatile. And he was a great help also. So, and then in today's part of the test, actually not today, on Sunday's part of the test, sorry about that, everything's blending together. We started off working some of the basics together, and then we split up into groups.
Yes.
So, because they only do Sandan testing in Canada, I went off and worked with the advanced guys and the guys that weren't testing. And you stuck around and worked out with the people who were testing.
Yes.
So on our side, the Japanese instructor took us through all the katas again, working on the little details on both sides, the sword side and the jo side, so the attacker and the defender. Worked on all kinds of different little points. And it was really good. And his English was good, too. And he could make his point. Talking to a good sense of humor. And what did you guys work on down on your end?
Worked forms.
Was it mostly the material for the test? So did
yeah,
you do one, two?
Yeah, one, two, and three. Yeah.
So which was different than, okay, I got to turn here. Which is different. When I took EQ in Japan, we had to do 1 through 5, only on the jo side, so we didn't have to do the sword at all. So we just did the defense. But you had to do something a little more advanced. You had to do 1, 2, and 3 with the jo, switch, and then 1, 2, and 3
with the tachi
with the sword. And so that's what you guys did on your end?
Yes.
Instructor made that kind of jumped down at you, or you're going to be able to take back Cincinnati with you?
Yeah, I position my feet and I need to move my, don't move your hips till your jo hits the sword and a lot of good stuff like that.
Good, yeah, and like I mentioned earlier, there was a bunch of stuff that was good for me to review, stuff that I, little details I haven't, that I had gotten rusty on. And then I didn't think I was going to, I thought I was just going to work with the advanced guys, but one of the attackers dropped out, so I wound up being your attacker on the test. So we had kind of a short amount of time to get prepared for that.
Yeah.
But pulled it off. But, you know, maybe it worked out best because you and I worked together so much anyway. In the dojo thousands of times.
Uh-huh.
So you don't have to adjust to somebody else's height or weight or gender. We just did what we always did.
Yeah.
Were you nervous?
Always nervous. Everyone, I think everyone's always nervous at test a little bit.
But you did good.
Yeah. I'm
proud of you. You're now our highest ranking Jodo student at the Kosho School of Karate.
Yeah.
Overall successful trip. I'd do it again. Would you do it again?
I'd do it again.
Okay. Very nice. All right, Tom. Well, let's take a break and, we're headed to Niagara Falls now. Maybe we'll give an update after we take the Maid of the Mist.
Hey everybody, Nate here. I just want to take a minute to talk about our new sponsor, the Micro Bar. The Micro Bar is an innovative, cutting-edge new type of seating that's perfect for restaurants, cafes, bars, and even the party room at home. The Micro Bar is a very versatile product, and it's perfect for residential or commercial applications. It can be used alone or grouped with other microbars to create multiple seating arrangements. The microbar is perfect for anywhere that seating and standing people interact. So whether you're looking for a new piece of furniture for the breakfast nook at home or you're remodeling a restaurant, go to www.microbar.net. That's www.microbar.net. Or call 513-232-9405. Thanks again for supporting our sponsors. Looking for great entertainment? Want to find the best deals on food and drinks? Use the PubPal app to find great establishments near you. View daily specials, find live bands, karaoke, even poetry. If you're looking for something to do, PubPal is the answer, and it's only a click away. Download the app on the Apple Store and get the Android app on Google Play. And don't forget to like them on Facebook. Visit PubPalUSA.com to find out more. That's PubPalUSA. PubPalUSA. All right, well, it's always nice to see see a national park or two when you're on one of these karate road trips. So
that was cool. That's
yeah, so
nice.
We swung by Niagara Falls.
Yep.
We didn't do the Maid of the Mist, though. That's it. You know, the last time, you know, that was the only other time that I was in Canada, but it doesn't really count as being in Canada. When I was a kid, we did this camping trip with my grandparents. We went out to Maine in their fifth wheel.
Uh-huh.
And so we went to Niagara Falls. We parked the trailer somewhere, went to Niagara Falls. Grandpa was driving, Grandma was there, my sister, my mom. And so we went down, we took the Maid of the Mist in, we saw it, had to wear the ponchos and everything. And then while we're there, myself and my sister, we wanted to go across and so we could say we have been to Canada. So, you know, Grandpa, we're going to Canada, we're going to Canada. No, we're not going to Canada. No, please, Grandpa, please. He said, okay. So we go across the bridge there, goes right near the falls, over on the Canadian side, and we're in downtown Niagara, Canada. Now, downtown Niagara, Canada has all these one-way streets. This one goes one way, one goes the other way. There's a couple, as we found out, we did get turned around too, trying to find the bridge. So, you know, this wasn't a fluke, but Grandpa's getting turned around, takes a right down a long, wrong way. Oh, God damn it! Forget Canada, we're going back to America. My sister said, no, Grandpa, please. We want to get out. We want to see we've been in Canada. So like, you're not getting out of anything. We're going back to America where the streets make sense. Said, no, Grandpa, please, just let us touch it. Let's touch it. It is fine. So he pulled over. We opened the door. He reached out of the truck, reached down, and touched the curb. I touched the curb in Canada. And then we went right back to America. So that was the only other time I've been out of the country. So it was, I'm glad I finally got to do a podcast and a road trip.
Yeah, it was nice.
To there. Yeah, very cool place. And the other neat thing we just saw was the, what was it, Big Woody's?
It was Big Woody's Fireworks and Martial Arts.
What a bizarre business combination. I'll put some photos up of this thing. Everybody who's listening is going to think we're making this up. It was this roadside shanty that sold fireworks and karate supplies. And there were a bunch of people in there looking at swords and knives and nunchaku and, you know, then some, you know, sparklers and snakes and some of the big stuff too, you know. Some Roman candles. I don't know how he would stay. How do you stay in business doing that?
I don't know.
And we didn't buy anything.
No, we didn't buy nothing.
And we're two of the easiest guys to sell karate stuff too.
Yeah.
I mean, does he just rely on people that are coming back home from martial arts seminars?
I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting. Our border guard was kind of a dick.
Yeah, he was kind of a jerk.
He was kind of a jerk, yeah. He pulled up and then gave us a hard time. So, you don't pull up until I tell you to pull up. That's like, you opened the gate.
You pulled aside the cone and you were in your box. So I pulled up. Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I think our... That's always a problem with the border guys. They're a little bit too gruff. They need to be more like America's receptionists.
America's receptionists.
So it's like, you know how you get the hot chick, the good looking chick, and put her out front. She's all friendly, or like the super overly over the top friendly gay guy, and he's out front. Hi, how you doing? Welcome to America. Oh, no. You know, when they're outgoing and they're friendly. He says, "What are you doing here?" I'm going back home. What's your citizenship? You've got my passport. I'm American. Which business? I live in America. So, that was difficult, but that's all right.
Big Woody's.
I think I'm gonna see if I can get a hold of that guy and do an interview with him. I want to do a phone interview. I have to find out more about this.
I wonder if his name's really Big Woody.
I have to. And then the guy who was working there wasn't the owner. It was this little shitty, like, so he had an actual employee that he hired to hang out in there who knew nothing about martial arts.
No, he didn't know nothing.
And I don't know that he knew anything about fireworks. He was just an old guy who hung out in the store. That's okay. I've got to find out more, though.
How could you not laugh when you see that picture?
Okay, that's all for this week's show. To find out more about Kim Taylor and next year's Seidokai Seminar in Guelph, Ontario, visit www.seidokai.ca. That's www.seidokai.ca. To find out more about this week's guest, Tom Daugherty, come hang out at the Kosho School of Karate in Cincinnati. Congrats again to Tom for his promotion to EQ and Jodo. Thanks, and we'll see you next week. Nihiribiru and Matayap. Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.